In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is God's word for you. Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night within his temple. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. In the name of Jesus, fathers and brothers in the faith, dear members of Luther Memorial Parish, and especially you, my dear Margaret, and family. God has three things to say to you tonight, three things that constitute his balm for your bereavement. Number one, your loved one and brother received a divine call he simply couldn't turn down. Number two, the reunion is close. Number three, you're not alone. Henry Ryman was a called man. There's no doubt about that. And it wasn't when he graduated from this seminary that he received his first divine call. That happened long ago when his pastor poured the gracious water of life over his head. And thus did God enable baby Henry to celebrate his first glad epiphany. For in that baptismal act, God brought and called our dear brother out of the dark and terrifying bondage to Satan, hell, death, and sin, and into the magnificent and marvelous light, the epiphany light of his love and grace. How fitting then, that our glorified brother should reach the goal of this epiphany act of his baptism on the bright festival of the Epiphany. Henry Ryman was a called man, called by God to be a saint. Hear a description of this man, composed by a member of the faculty of Concordia Teachers College, River Forest, Illinois. Henry Ryman had come to represent for those who had grown up with him in the past 2.5 decades in the church, all that is the finest in the traditions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As scholar and teacher, as pastor and theologian, Henry Ryman, with a deep sense of history, participated in the past, agonized in the present, and rejoiced in the future. His life was molded as much by worship as by academic discipline. His books became hymnals, his desk an altar. A theologian of great promise, Henry Ryman lived long enough and worked hard enough to mark the lives of those who have known him with the indelible lines of the figure of the servant he served, the Savior who summons to faith, to faithfulness, to death in life, and life in death. The students and faculty and board of control of Concordia Teachers College, River Forest, Illinois, experienced the blessing of Henry Ryman's teaching and presence in 2 summer sessions. We were deeply shocked to learn of his sudden death. To his colleagues, and most especially to his family, we express our profoundest conviction that Henry preferred, as the true theologian he was, the crown of life to the doctor's hood. Henry Ryman was called to be a saint. And that meant that his entire life was to be a constant epiphany, a flesh and blood mirror and manifestation of his Savior God. And that was surely the case. A few examples, if you please. What Christian courage this man displayed when, in the hospital, shortly before his surgery, he handed me, just in case, the directions for his funeral. It wasn't done morbidly, let me assure you. It was done by a brave and valiant saint who had the boldness born of the resurrection hope to stare grim and ugly death right in the eye as the champion, as the victor. And then I think of these words spoken to me in the hospital, words of courage. He said, "My wife and I have come to look upon this sickness as God's great Christmas gift to us." Think of that. Only a saint could say something like that about so serious an illness. Henry Ryman was called to be a saint, and that he surely was. But he was also called to be a husband and father. And how diligently, how lovingly, how joyfully he fulfilled that calling. He was called to be a professor at this seminary, and those of you who worked with him or studied under him can give glowing and eloquent testimony to his competence, to his sincerity and faithfulness in that vocation. He was also called to be a pastor at Luther Memorial Parish. And who of us, my fellow members at Luther Memorial, who of us is not closer to his God because of the preaching and the example and the ministry of this man? But it was on the festival of the Epiphany that our dear Henry received his last and greatest divine call, the call to join the happy and glorified saints mentioned in the Revelation text, who stand and serve God day and night within his heavenly temple. And you see, this was a call our brother simply couldn't turn down. It was so grand, so challenging, so glorious. Not a call this time from the human agents of the church, but a direct call from the lips of our Lord himself. A call to a position of higher responsibility and service in the church. Oh, how senseless, how tragic. We are tempted to cry out in the agony of our bereavement that death should take from the church a theologian and pastor and professor so young, so vigorous, and so needed. Well, let me tell you, death did not take Henry Ryman from the church. Death, at the command of the church's Lord, simply translated our brother to a position of higher service and responsibility within Christ's church. And you see, this was a divine call our brother simply couldn't turn down. May that fact help to comfort your bowed spirits and bleeding hearts. Here is God's second word of balm for your bereavement. The reunion is close. St. Paul informs us that Jesus Christ burst in glory from his vainly shut and sealed tomb, that he triumphed and championed over a startled and defeated death as the first fruits of those who sleep. I guess it really isn't planting time, is it? Here, the 9th of January. And yet, that's precisely what we have done this day. This afternoon we tenderly and lovingly covered with earth the dormant seed of our brother's body. But please note I say dormant and not dead. For in our brother's baptism, Father God combined with Mother Church to bring our brother forth as his own child. And that means the very eternal life of God was pulsing and surging through him. And that life not even the cruel clutch of death can stop or halt. Indeed it can. Oh, it's true. The stethoscope found no beat or pulse of life within him. But the same is true of a little dormant seed. By all tests and observations, that little seed is absolutely lifeless. But you just put that little seed into the soil and then wait. Wait until the soft, gentle rain and the warm spring sun combine to produce the miracle of germination. And then that dormant seed soon pushes up through the soil, bursting out all over with new life. And so it will be with our brother, with the dormant seed of his body that we this day have planted. It too will one day spring up, pulsing and throbbing with new and never-ending life, ready to be harvested together with us all into the granary of heaven. Let me tell you this. Henry Ryman entered a penitentiary with cracked walls. I am talking about the penitentiary of the tomb. This is a jail whose days are numbered. It happened when that Easter earthquake jarred that giant stone loose from the door of Christ's vacated grave. And when that happened, that earthquake also put some mighty big, some mighty obvious, some mighty glorious cracks into the penitentiary of death and the grave. And now we know for sure that this jail is doomed to eventual destruction, and that our loved ones that now lie chained behind its ugly walls will escape, will be free forever. Henry Ryman entered a jail with cracked walls. Christ the first fruit has come back from the coffin. And we think here of our Lord's familiar words that the fields are white unto the harvest. Indeed they are. The fields that we call cemeteries with their white tombstones, these fields are white unto the harvest of the resurrection. Indeed they are. For even now you can discern with the eyes of faith on these cemetery fields one ripened ear of grace, one man raised and returned from the silent and gloomy halls of death, Jesus Christ. And that, of course, means that harvest day, resurrection day, is just around the corner. And that, in turn, means that reunion day is mighty close. That deliriously joyful day when you, my dear Margaret and family, will once again embrace in your hungry arms your revived and glorified dear ones in God's bright and beautiful new heavens and earth. And then eyes with joy shall sparkle that brimmed with tears of late. Orphans no longer fatherless, nor widows desolate. And that day is mighty near. You see it in the raised Christ, the Christ whom God raised upon the cross, lowered into that rocky garden vault, and then gloriously lifted out again at Easter, that you and I might be raised from the death of our sins to God's own right hand of forgiveness, favor, and eternal fellowship. This now is God's final word of balm for your bereavement. God says, or rather Jesus says to you, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another counselor to be with you forever. Please note, another counselor. That implies that there's two or more, and indeed there is. Jesus, the counselor, of whom St. John speaks when he says, if any man sins, we have a counselor, a lawyer before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And here is a lawyer who has never lost his case, a lawyer who constantly pleads our cause, our case before the Most High, a lawyer whose constantly folded hands form five crosses, five vivid reminders of his suffered cross for our salvation. Now, says Jesus, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Oh, it is true. God, in his infinite wisdom, has taken from you one counselor, your beloved husband, who so often counseled you and guided you and sustained you and sheltered and loved and protected you. But if God has taken one counselor from you, he still lovingly provides you with another, the Holy Spirit. And he, says Jesus, abides with you forever. No cruel death can ever rob you of this heavenly counselor, this heavenly bystander, this comforter from on high, who will console and guide and sustain you during these difficult days of your bereavement. And this counselor, says St. Paul, is the first course of God's heavenly meal of gladness and glory served to us already here and now in time. I guess God isn't like us parents, who so often must drive our children away from the table because they're doing too much pre-dinner nibbling. God isn't like that. Why, he is so eager to give us the joys of heaven that he can't wait even until we get there, until we arrive at the banquet table. Already here and now, he puts into our hearts his Holy Spirit, the first fruit of heaven, the first course of our heavenly meal, served here and now in time. And do you know what that means? That means there's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. All of us here are bound to join beloved Henry, feasting in the banquet hall of heaven. There's no doubt about it, for we already here and now have the Holy Spirit, the first course of that heavenly meal. And let me tell you this, God doesn't serve one course dinner. This then is God's balm for your bereavement. God's balm for your bereavement. Take it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.